Some of you folks have an attitude. That got your attention, didn't it? I saw several heads come up, and no doubt if people are listening to this, when it goes on the website, we'll go like, what is that preacher talking about? Just because I said you had an attitude, I didn't say you had a good attitude or a bad attitude, but we all have attitudes. It's one of the most commonly used words in regard to how people act. Attitude. People are said to either have a good one or a bad one. But our attitudes can either be positive or negative. And oftentimes, having the right attitude is more than just something you hear about in a motivational speech. It's the way that we think. Especially as Christians, we need to think about our attitude, think about how we act. And that's our subject this morning. The first point is that it's a choice. We can control the way we think. So many times people fall back on the excuse, the open-ended excuse, I just can't help myself. No, that's not so. In James chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, we'll see that we can control the way we think. Are times difficult? In some places in the world, they are. Are situations difficult for some Christians? It is. But we can still rejoice. James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Now, oftentimes when we think about falling into different temptations, we think, oh, woe is me. It's terrible. I'm going to stumble. I'm going to fall. But that's not what James says. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. We ought to look at the things which come upon us, the trials and the tribulations, the temptations, and we need to realize, especially if we have overcome these in the past, that we can do this, and that we can choose how we think about it. We can choose our attitude. You know, our circumstances may be out of our control, but we can remain strong. As you turn to Philippians chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, if nothing else, we ought to have the attitude that we're thankful to God that we don't live in a time and in a situation and in a country in which the thing that we're going to read about here in this passage is a reality. Paul writes to the Philippian brethren, as guided by the Spirit, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. It doesn't matter how bad it gets. We can still be happy. Oh, but what if? There are no what ifs. We can still be happy, especially if we are children of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16, beginning, that which was read for our scripture reading, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. You know, as time goes on, as the years keep clicking by, we are all aware of the fact that our bodies are not near as supple as they used to be. We can't do some of the things. One of the excuses I have on my honey-do list is provided for me by my wife. And she'll say, you can't do the things you used to do. Well, you know what? My body is getting older. It's not old yet, but it's getting older, and it can't do what it did when I was younger. However, the inner man is to be renewed day by day. And when that inner man is renewed day by day, I should be stronger. And I should have a great attitude. You know, you look back on your life, especially as a child of God, and you think, you know, how much better off you are now than when you first believed, when you first were obedient, and you think, well, you know, it couldn't have gotten any better than that. Oh, but look how much more you know. Oh, you don't? Why? It's your own fault. The information is there. You just have to go after it. Notice what Paul said as he was guided by the Spirit. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. For we look not on the things which are seen, but on the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Chapter 5 and verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, and it will be, you're not going to live forever. Don't get hung up on that. Don't have a bad attitude because you're not going to live forever. It's going to happen. But we have a building of God, a house not made with hand, eternal in the heavens, and it starts with spiritual growth. Again, remember, the zeal, the attitude that you had when you first became a child of God, you wanted to go out and convert everybody. And some of us tried. We ran up to a hard brick wall of reality in finding out that not everybody wants to be converted. Not everybody wants the truth. But we've got to begin with spiritual growth. That's our first lesson, if you will, in spiritual growth. Not everybody wants to be saved. Well, what are we to do about it? Get an attitude. Well, you know what? I'll preach and teach the gospel, and if they want to come, they can come. If they don't, they'll just stay away. That's not right. We as Christians accept the challenge to grow. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, we are admonished to grow, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How are we going to grow in knowledge? Well, we grow in knowledge as we study to show ourselves approved unto God. And if that doesn't help our attitude, then something's wrong. It can be done with God's help. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, we see the words written by the Apostle Paul, given to him by the Spirit to those brethren, especially in the face of all that they were facing, the persecution that was going on, the problems associated with being a Christian. He said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I think I've mentioned several times in using this verse, this does not mean I can leap a building in a single bound. Can't run faster than a locomotive or whatever all was ascribed to Superman. But the things that God would have us do, we can do these things. And it doesn't matter how hard it is while we're here on this earth. It doesn't matter the obstacles. God plus one is a majority. And if we have that attitude, we say, well, you know, look at the world today. Look at the church today. Look at the problems today. It's just going to, you know, wearing a handbasket is the way some people say. So what are we to do? Have an attitude and throw up our hands and quit? Oh, no. Remember, God plus one, even if you hear that one, is a majority. We're to grow in behavior and in service. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 beginning, this shows growth. It shows the attitude that we ought to have as we start at the starting point. And then we continue to add to it. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. We must be diligent in this. But notice where it starts. It starts with faith. And so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. But from that faith, what do? We have the attitude that I'm a Christian. I'm going to sit down here and I'm going to enjoy the ride. I'm sorry. That's not what God's word says. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We wonder sometimes why some Christians aren't fruitful. Well, here's the equation. Take one thing out of this equation, and they will be unfruitful. They will be barren. They will be lacking in knowledge. But while we gain knowledge, while we grow, while we maintain the proper attitude, we need to make sure that we do not do so in an improper way. In Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 5, we see the Apostle Paul penning the words to the Roman brethren supplied to him by the Spirit. He said, "For I say that the grace given to me, every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. I was once appalled when I had a preacher ask me a question when a situation came up. And the question that he presented to me was this. You know, I went to school. Who do you think knows more, me or the elders? I wish the response that I had would have come quickly, immediately. Sometimes you know how it is. You leave a situation and you go home and you think, I wish I'd have said. But I should have said right there, you got the wrong attitude. Elders are not infallible. But just because you disagree with them, you can't say, look at me, I went to school. I'm smarter than they are. We're not to think more highly of ourselves than we should. But we're to think soberly. A positive attitude helps us to grow, to know it's all worthwhile, and that we can persevere through difficult times. You need a job, and you need this job badly. You have children at home that need to eat, and you go to the place, and the man says, you know, you're a little overqualified. I have never left an office because a man told me, you're overqualified, therefore I don't have a job for you. The response should be, forget my qualifications, I need a job. What's the bottom? Well, let me be the helper to the bottom. Let me do something. Let me start so I can continue to grow. But we've got to have a positive attitude. You've got to have the right attitude. You've got to be willing to start wherever. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. Again, from the pen of the Apostle Paul. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Is it hard sometimes? Oh, it's very hard. Think about how it was when the Apostle Paul was here on the earth, when the other apostles were here, when the church was being persecuted. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Listen, Paul knew if they killed him for preaching the gospel, that he's the winner. Because he was ready. Being negative is dangerous. I want you to think about, as we look at some Bible history this morning, about the negative attitude of some folks. We're going to look at the 12 spies in Numbers chapter 13, verses 32, beginning. We all know people who, when every time something comes up to be discussed, so they begin to say all of the things against it. Well, this is going to be too hard, or this is going to take too long, or this is going to this, or this is going to that. The Lord does not want us to be negative. He did not want His people in the Old Testament to be negative. There were men from each tribe selected to go in. I want you to spy out the land. This is the land that God has promised to us. As we start reading Numbers chapter 13 and verse 32, and they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw giants, the sons of Anak, which came of the giants, and we are in our own sight as grasshoppers. So we were in their sight. Chapter 14 shows us what happened. We have 10 of the spies being negative. All the congregation did what? They lifted up their voice and they cried, and the people wept that night. It's useless. We've come out of Egypt. The Lord has delivered us. We've wandered around in the wilderness. And here we are. This land that's supposed to be great, and we find it uninhabitable. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? They said one to another, let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. The negative attitude of a handful of people caused a whole people, a whole nation, to say, let's give up. Let's jump down, or let's jump back to Numbers chapter 32, verses 6 through 9. We'll see that there were two of those 12 spies that came back and gave an honest report, had a good attitude. Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. In other words, they heard the report that was being given. They saw the same things. There was no doubt that there was a lot of people there. There was no doubt that there were maybe larger people there. But they rent their clothes. They tore their clothes. And they spake unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it, it is an exceeding good land. You know what? God has never given anything bad to his people. Now, his people have made it bad in a hurry. But God has never given anything bad to his people. He says in verse 8, if the Lord delight in us, and he will bring us into this land and give us it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel ye not against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord was with us. Fear them not. What an attitude. What a proper attitude. Two, trying to convince all these people. Unfortunately, as is always or often the case, a handful of people can lead a multitude of people the wrong way. This led to Israel rebelling and complaining against God. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. We see this. Notwithstanding, you would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God, and you murmured in your tents, and said, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us. How many times did Israel have to be reminded of the blessings of God? Listen, they couldn't even get lost in the wilderness. They had the fire by day and the cloud by day and the fire by night. They couldn't starve in the wilderness. They had the manna. God provided for them. They were sick of manna. God gave them quail. They were sick of that. They stayed sick of everything because they had the wrong attitude. Well, stop and think about it. Go through your closet tonight and look and see some of the clothes you got. Sometimes you think, boy, I've had this a long time. I bet you do not have a garment that is 40 years old that you can still wear that's not worn out. They did. God provided for them. Look at the result in Numbers chapter 14, verses 26 through 38. We won't read all of it. This time will be running out here shortly. But we can see the attitude brought about a result. The Lord God spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. It's interesting that they went into their tent and murmured, as if God couldn't hear. Here's what God said for Moses to say unto them. As truly as I live, verse 28, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. Haven't we heard about them already? Weren't they the ones that had the right attitude? Weren't they the ones that said, hey, we can do this? Verse 37, as we look to the end of that particular reading, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were the men that went to search the land, lived still. I think, if nothing else, just this particular example should help us to say, I want to have a good attitude. What happens when we become negative? Well, we stop believing. We stop trying. We become discouraged and we lose sight of our goals. I like to go out and play golf. Well, I call it that. And there's at least one here who's been with me several times and know that I have had to make a trip to the sporting goods store after each round of golf and buy some more golf balls. What if I were to get discouraged and say, I can't do this? Oh, that's just a small thing. But what if we have the attitude of discouragement now and say, you know what, it's hard to be a Christian. I can't do this. I'm only going to stop trying. I'm going to give up. What am I giving up? We must be positive. Again, let's look at the Old Testament. Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 1 through 15. We're not going to take the time to read it all now, but we're going to look at it. We're going to see what has happened. There were those who had been given the job to rebuild the walls in Jerusalem. And they faced insurmountable odds, or some would call them such. However, with the right attitude, if you read that particular area of the Bible, you'll find out that there was times when they worked with one hand and kept the sword in the other. But the key point is they worked. They kept an eye out for the danger. Verse 6 of chapter 4, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together into the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. They were positive. What if they attack us? What if they tear down what we've already done? What if? What if? They were positive and said, you know what, we can do this. The Lord sent us here to do this. We'll build this wall. Oh, it might take a little longer because we're working with one hand. We got our other hand on the sword, but we're going to do it. Verse 9 says, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. There is much rubbish. Even within themselves at that point, if you'll read that particular passage, you'll find out that even among themselves there were people becoming discouraged. But what did it take? It only took one or two standing up and going, hey guys, we can do this. Let's have the right attitude. Let's work together. Verse 14, and I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles, to the rulers, to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known to us that God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, everyone to his work. We need to eliminate the negative. We need to watch our self-talk. I can't. I was told as a child, I can't, never could. Oftentimes, when people say I can't, it's because they won't. We can do what God wants us to do. Remember, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The harder the work, the greater chance of success. As you turn to Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 9, you know, most folks think that geniuses are the ones that are successful. Look at all these successful people out there. They're so smart. You want to know what Thomas Edison, a true genius, said about his success? He said, genius is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. In other words, you got to have an idea, and then you got to put activity behind that idea. You got to push it. You got to promote it. Sometimes you have to work, and you have to work extra hard. He worked on creating a thing that we have in our lives today. He finally succeeded. You know what his wife said? Honey, turn off the light and come to bed. But I don't remember how many times that he failed before he succeeded. The reason he succeeded is because he had the right attitude. You know, I can make this work. If you want to make success happen, work at it. Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. For he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. What does that say? Oh, it's important to work while we're here on earth. It's important to make our way, if you will. So what is so much more important is that we understand what this is talking about. We've got to have the attitude that to work on our soul is the most important thing. We need to avoid negative people. Their attitude is like a poison. It's contagious. There are those whose negative attitude affects all those around them in a negative way. We need to be around the positive. Philemon's chapter 4, verses, or chapter, there's only one chapter, I'm sorry. Philemon, verses 4 through 7. The Apostle Paul writing says, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. He was encouraged because of the attitude of Philemon. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. He wrote and said, I am glad of the coming of Stephanus and Fortunatus and Archaicus. For that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Being surrounded by the positive. What about Barnabas? Do you know what Barnabas means? His name was Joseph, who by the apostles were surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation. He was a Levite and of the country of Cyprus. Remember, he was the one who had a piece of land, sold it, brought the money and gave it to the apostles and said, here, use it. Well, Barnabas had a good attitude. But remember, even Barnabas, the one who encouraged everyone else, could be negatively affected by a negative attitude. Remember when Peter got up and left the Gentiles when the Jews came in? Even Barnabas was carried away with the dissimulation. We need to have the right talk. We need to have the right friends. We need to be around the right people, and we can avoid negativity. Hebrews tells us in chapter 3, verse 13, but exhort one another daily. That does not mean be negative. That means be positive. Build each other up. Do it when? While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And don't dwell on the past. You know, Paul could have done this. I mean, so many people say, you know, we've tried that before. We've tried that so many times. It never works. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 5. Paul said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for that he hath counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. Look at this, verse 13. Who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You know, when I say don't dwell in the past, we can't forget our past. Not all of it. But we need not dwell on it. The things that happened in our past, sometimes are there as a reminder. When we touch something hot and it burns us, that's built into us to remember so that we don't touch something hot again. But Paul chose not to dwell on the past. Look at Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 and 14. He was always looking forward, having the right attitude, that beyond this life is where eternity begins. Now you stop and think about that. Beyond this life is where eternity begins, but the preparation for eternity begins now. He says, not as though I had already obtained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that I may be apprehended, that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. You know the mistakes that you've made in the past? They're in the past. The problems that were in the past, they were in the past. Remember them, learn from them, but don't dwell on them. Reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, we live in the present, but we got to keep an eye on the future. Again, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17 and 18, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You're not going to suffer in this life, but you can very well suffer for eternity. And there's no comparison between the two. If we're to have the right attitude, it's got to be a mature attitude. You know, God is ready to help us grow. He provides us the tools to do it. And the church is designed to be an environment conducive for growth. And if we use it, and if we have the right attitude, our labor will not be in vain. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10 tells us, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Let's not be negative. Now, as we close, let me ask you this question. Do you have the right attitude toward God and his word? Oh, yes, I do. I'm here. That's not what I'm asking. Do you have the right attitude toward God and his word? Are you willing to obey his word? Are you willing to continue to be faithful to his word? As we reach the end of a sermon, we extend the invitation. The invitation is so that folks have the opportunity to come to God. But they must come to God on the conditions that God put forth. They must have the right attitude when they come forth, knowing that they are making a commitment to God. The Bible teaches in Romans 10:17 that a person is to hear the word of God. John 8:24, we see that we are to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Acts 2:38, knowing that we are to repent, turn away from the sin of the world, turn toward God. Confessing before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Romans 10 and verse 10, and being baptized into Christ, Mark 16 and 16. And then we are to live faithfully unto death. And I'm going to tell you something. You cannot have the wrong attitude and remain faithful unto death. Perhaps in your life, as a child of God, you've allowed your attitude to get out of control. Perhaps if as a child of God, because your attitude has gotten out of control, you have sinned and know that that sin, whatever it is that which separates between you and God. And if you have the right attitude toward God and his word today, you'll want to return to him. But you must return through repentance and prayer. As we stand and sing the invitation song, I want to ask you, do you need to obey the gospel? Regardless of your needs, if you will, as we stand and sing, come forward and let them be known.